The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our epistle lesson for the day from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, especially this verse. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. November 1st, 2009. It all happens again. Right in the middle of New York City. 26.2 miles, $600,000 in prize money. The New York City Marathon. And this year, I plan to run it. No, in fact, I plan to win it. I noticed a few smiles, maybe even a few chuckles out there. Is that just because I'd be covered in sweat and gasping for my last breath if I just tried to run over to the schoolhouse? Is that because perhaps I can't really name the last time I ran about anywhere? Is it because my current exercise regimen is a little probably on the limited side, and all too often I allow my portions to be a little on the unlimited side? But let's consider a different event. Date unknown. It happens for the first and only time. It happens right there in the sight of all people. It lasts forever. Real rewards are offered. And speaking of the last day. And all of us here, I suppose, plan to participate. And not only to participate, but to expect victory on that day. You know, now I don't see those smiles or those chuckles. No laughter, despite the fact that some of us cannot think of the last time we spent more than a few moments reading the Word of God. Despite the fact that our prayer life is interrupted by sleep more often than we'd like to admit. Despite the fact that our lives are so filled with many sins, and often our good deeds that we plan remain only plans. And yet you and I, with that kind of spiritual discipline, expect victory. Paul wrote our epistle lesson for the day to those Christians who lived in Corinth. And right outside of Corinth, they had what were called the Isthmian Games. And these games were second in prestige only to the Olympics themselves. Athletes came from all over the world, we are told, to the Isthmian Games to compete. And those athletes that came to compete knew this truth. If they hoped to run to the finish line, and especially if they hoped to win, then they needed to train for many months for this event. Yes, discipline had to be exercised over all parts of their life if they wanted to be formed into the shape that could win the race. Paul says today that we as God's people should exercise similar discipline if we are serious about experiencing victory on that last day. Now right away we might be a little suspicious of this statement by Paul. For it sure seems that that suggestion would mean that victory on the last day is assured by us and our efforts. We can almost wonder if this is some different Paul. Some different Paul than the one who argued tirelessly and time again that salvation and victory came only through Jesus and his death and his life. Well, it seems to me that in this metaphor, Paul is assuming that one's place in the race of faith is indeed given by grace. And that indeed that race that we are placed into leads ultimately to the finish line. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just say it's enough to be in the race that leads to salvation. He says that are truly in the race and recognize that self, we should view it the way that a runner views a championship race. We should discipline ourselves in ways that allow God to form us into the shape He wants us to be in, that we might run the race of faith as well as possible. We are to run as those who compete for a prize. Yes, if we have been placed in the race by grace, Paul says then we should seek to run like we want to win it. And yet sometimes, even with such exhortations from Paul, we simply do not discipline ourselves as if we seek to even finish the race, let alone win it. And we should be reminded that not finishing the race of faith is a possibility. Many people have graciously been placed into the race and then never reached the finish line. But you see, a lack of spiritual discipline can lead to sin. And sin that is not repented of leads one ultimately to collapse from spiritual exhaustion. And many have collapsed before they ever reach the finish line. Other times it seems perhaps as if we just discipline ourselves as if we're going to coast in to the finish line. If we're going to run the whole race with just sort of a slow pace about us, not getting overly excited about it. In fact, I would suggest that most people in the Church of God today are working with sort of this level of preparation. They're in church most of the time, pray when they need something, and trust that that'll be sufficient to make it through. But dear Christian friends, Paul tells us that we should not run this race this way. He says it is a great privilege to be placed into the race, and so we should race as those who want to win. We should not, if people are watching us, look like those that are trying to cross the finish line, exerting the least amount of effort possible. No, we should look like those who ran outside of Corinth looked. We should look like those who discipline themselves to win the race in which they are engaged. So I stop to ask you and myself today, how disciplined is your spiritual life? What is your spiritual regimen? What kind of spiritual shape are you in? Well, today let us consider three areas of our life. Three disciplines that God promises will make us spiritually strong if we engage in them. First, let us consider the practice of gathering around God's Word and His sacraments here in this building. From very early on in the church's life, the church set up a regular discipline of meeting weekly around the Word and around the Lord's Supper. They knew that in order to run the race well during the rest of the week, they needed that time of rest with God's people each Sunday. So you see, any good athlete comes to understand that rest is as important to training as the workout is. And so also weekly rest in God's house for us as God's people is a good spiritual discipline. If you're currently not in God's house weekly, realize that you're probably not going to be in the shape that you should be as you run the race at the various places that it leads each week. If you're here in body but somewhere else in your mind, realize that you too may start to feel the pain in your legs and the shortness in your breath during the midst of your week. If you're here only taking in some of the goodness that is offered here, only coming to church or not to Bible class, realize that the road between here and eternity may start to seem longer and longer, and you won't be sure if your energy will last. Secondly, let us think about how we read God's Word personally and devotionally. A person once said, "He whose Bible wears out will not." I have been blessed as I visit people in this church to see many worn out admit that I find most of these Bibles in the homes of our most elderly members, who learned the discipline of daily Bible reading in their time as children in our school. And I am certain that not even all who learned this discipline back then continue it to this day. And then there are many who never learned that discipline at all. But we must stop to realize that a relationship cannot be sustained without communication. As we read the word, God is speaking to us. Indeed, He is confronting us when we need it. He is forgiving us when we always need it. And He is leading us in the ways that we should walk. Without this daily discipline, we are left sort of confused on the racetrack. Like a dehydrated runner, we can begin to stumble over our own feet. And if the situation gets too dire, we can simply collapse on the track before we ever get the finish line. Finally, let us consider our time spent in prayer. It is good to be disciplined about prayer in simple ways. A prayer before meals. A prayer here in the midst of worship. A prayer before bed. But indeed, our discipline of prayer should extend much further than quick words spoken at appropriate times. Once again, a relationship cannot be sustained without communication. Imagine how your relationship with your best friend would be if you only spoke to them in brief and scripted ways. No, our prayer life must include longer conversations with our God. We must stop being busy long enough in order that we might be blessed. We must pray even when we don't want to do the hard work of struggling to find the words that seem so far away. Our prayer life must be constant and consistent. It's how we let God know our needs. It's how the burdens that often rest on our shoulders are lifted. It's how we find direction. So without this discipline, again, we will not be able to run the race as we should. We will race as those whose focus is less than optimal. We will run as if we have strapped extra weight to our shoulders at the beginning of the race. We will run and grow weary. And once again, that makes our run less than it is supposed to be, and ultimately can put us in danger of not finishing at all. Yes, today it is good that we would stop and rejoice that we have been placed in the race of faith by God's grace. That He has allowed us to be a participant in this race that leads to salvation. But let us also join today to our rejoicing repentance over our lack of spiritual discipline. Let us admit that at times we have not run this race as those who are seeking victory. And then let us receive the grace we need in order to continue to run until that finish line comes. For as we repent, that same Jesus who healed the sick and cast out demons and preached good news to the poor will speak to us again today healing words of good news. And those words will make our bodies refreshed. It will focus our minds and it will give strength to our legs in order that we might keep running. And then and only then will we be those who are running with discipline. For even youth grow faint and weary, and young men fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Amen.